Echoes, the Backwards Series, Episode 6, Riders of Destiny, by Lynn Nelson. Molly hurried down the main corridor of Flashpoint, the Flash Pack's headquarters. She stopped at a door at the end of the hall and burst through the door. A sleeping Max rolled over, muttering something. Molly hesitated and blushed slightly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you. We've got a situation.
What time is it?
A little after 3.
This better be good.
Aliens are invading.
I'll be out in 5.
Molly paced outside Max's room until he came out in his robe, yawning.
Can't aliens find something better to do with their time?
Wake up, Max. You're going to want to be balanced before you see this, and preferably sitting down.
Max followed Molly down 2 flights of stairs and into the monitoring console. Crisp greeted them at the door with a cup of coffee for Max. Keen was seated in front of one of the monitors, pressing buttons. Slaughter was reclining in a wooden chair, sketching what they all saw on the monitor.
Who have we got today? Venus? Corona? Tell me it's not the Saturnians again. They were cranky.
Taking into account the structure of the vehicles, it is undeniably Drallis.
Max nearly spit out his coffee.
Drallis? She doesn't waste any time, does she? She's not making any sense.
She sounded crazy to me. I thought it was an empty threat.
It's like she's been adding ships every day, and these are huge. It's like they're growing.
She is crazy. These ships have the capability to create a pressure explosion field. She's got one hell of a mechanic.
We should get his number.
I could make pressure explosions if I wanted.
Yeah, maybe you should get on it. This looks pretty ominous.
Well, I can't make them at this moment. Okay, fine, I can't make pressure explosions. Sue me. Why don't you all hire Drallis, then?
She's just teasing, Molly. Don't take it personally.
Flashback.
Flashback?
No. I'm trying to get your attention. Jeez, we need to work out a better system.
Max, it may be time.
You're not talking about...
I am.
I need to see for myself.
Max, followed by Chris, Molly, Slaughter, and Keen, went into the observation room, a room made entirely of one-way mirrors that let them see the outside but kept them hidden from the world's view. The entire Flash Pack gazed in awe at the massive ships that hung in the Earth's atmosphere. They were large black ovals with silver and purple trim that hummed quietly. They practically filled the sky.
Keen, I think you're right.
Someone want to clue the rest of us in?
My mother's aunt is a Flugel.
Nothing good comes of Flugels.
They are incredibly intelligent beings.
They hold the most secret of secret knowledges. Any being with that many secrets has too much power.
And they're practically immoral. If there are any Flugels with conscience, you'll never be able to tell them from the rest.
Hey, remember the part where I'm related to one? Yeah, thanks.
I'm still confused.
If our suspicions are at all correct, we need that most secret of secret knowledges. These machines mean business, and we have too many questions.
Do the ships belong to Drallis? Has she got bats in her belfry? If they're not hers, whose are they, and why do they bear such a remarkable resemblance to her vehicles?
Yes, thank you, Crisp. I'm glad you're taking all this down.
I guess I should know better than to ask at this point. But just how exactly do you expect to make this journey?
Security in Glywing is like nothing I've ever before dissected. They have eyes that float in the air. They have X-ray vision. They can go outside time. And they are incredibly hostile to outsiders.
Wouldn't you be if you were protecting the world's secrets?
My mother gave me a charm a few years ago, in the form of an ID. It is, essentially, a security waiver. I will be identified as a Flugel.
What about the rest of us?
It allows for only one guest.
Which should be me.
Of course.
Max, this leaves a bad taste in my mouth. No offense, Keen, obviously we've identified a Flugel with a conscience, but you don't know what kind of environment you're walking into. It could be really dangerous. I'm worried.
Well, do we have any better ideas? Besides, usually Max is so crazy they just might work schemes end up totally saving the day, or at least being really fun. Though, I guess this one won't be much fun for us.
Look, it's got to be done. Keen and I can take care of ourselves. You monitor the activity of the ships and hold down the fort. We're going to want to make this as short of a trip as possible.
Max got dressed, and in 20 minutes, he and Keen found themselves boarding their spaceship. They took off and watched with one eye in the rear view as Molly, Slaughter, and Crisp grew smaller and smaller and then disappeared.
So, Keen.
Yeah?
Well, I didn't want to ask you before in front of everybody, but...
What is it?
Are you sure about this?
I am, but it doesn't really matter, does it?
What do you mean?
Max Thornfield doesn't do anything he's not ready to do.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
They rode in silence for a while.
You know, no one has ever doubted your loyalties.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying you're a very loyal person, Max. We appreciate that. We wouldn't know what to do without you.
Well, gee, thanks, Keen. You're an okay gal.
Look, I'm not looking for a Kodak moment or anything.
Fair enough.
We're entering Glywing anyway.
Glywing was a rather green city on Jupiter. It was probably the most technologically advanced city on the immediate planets, but it sort of resembled a town out of an old Western movie from the 1900s. The creatures that inhabited the city were small, about 4 feet tall. They had no real structure and rolled around much like amoeba. They were mostly a light green and spoke through osmosis. At the border, a flugel in a dark green official cap pulled them over and checked Keen's ID. He scanned her charmed card and waved them through. They hovered slowly through the town until they found a saloon marked Themers. They parked the ship and walked inside. As soon as they entered, every flugel in the bar rolled quietly out. Max and Keen took seats at the bar, and a flugel in a cowboy hat rolled over to them and set down two sodas.
Good to see caffeine's an international language.
Don't reckon you folks are from around here. How'd you happen to pass our guards?
I'm half.
Well, welcome home, little missy. I reckon you're in some mighty trouble to go poking your nose around these parts.
We've got aliens. No offense.
No taking, young man. You got Dralis on your trail, huh?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. We know her ships are pretty high tech, but we can't figure out if they actually belong to her or what she intends to do with them.
This here's a secret base located in the Himalaya Mountains on your little planet.
The flugel produced a map from just under the bar in front of him and handed it over to Keen.
Their security is mighty tricky. Get doors that open and close so fast they'll chomp on any jet or plane that tries to get through without permission. You're gonna want to take that there spaceship and put her into hyperspeed.
Whoa, really? Okay. Wow, that's helpful.
That Dralis is a very dexterous lady. I'd be careful around her if I were you. Something's not right with her head.
Yeah, we figured that out. Can you tell us what's going on?
That's not really something you're gonna need me to do.
Okay. Is there anything you can tell us?
Just take your map, little lady, and finish your fizzy.
Well, what do we owe you?
Shucks. You don't need to give me nothing. The giggles are enough for me.
The little blob rolled away into the back, leaving a bewildered Max and Keen to finish their sodas.
Okay, that's weird.
Well, that was a wasted trip. Aside from this stupid map, he told us absolutely nothing.
Let's get out of here.
Max and Keen exited the saloon and were met with the sight of their spaceship hovering a good few feet off the ground.
No wonder security was so easy.
You think they alert? Who is that?
A loud, booming voice came over the outer speakers of the spaceship.
You're expecting maybe the lovely Lady Dralis?
I'd know that voice anywhere.
Dex!
Oh, it's so lovely to be recognized.
Those are your ships! Or are they Dralis's?
We don't need separate ships anymore, you pathetic earthenoid! Dralis knows her place now. We will rule together!
Just what is it you want to rule again?
Everything! How small are your brain units? And now that I have your ship, not only can I add one to my fleet, but you are stranded here in Glywing, doomed to roam among the blob creatures who think they know everything. Be careful, who mans? They sell out to the highest bidder.
A loud whirring began inside the flash-packed spaceship, and Max and Keen backed away as Dex continued his diatribe.
Now I can continue my doomsday device without this thorn in my side.
I think it's time to get out of here.
How many transports do you have left?
One, but I can't think of a better way to use it.
Without your elaborate flying machine, you can do nothing. You pathetic superheroes are nothing but subpar humans with superior technology. But who is the supreme being now? Is it you? No, it is I, Dex.
Keen quickly hugged Max, and there was a brief flash of light. They could hear the faint echo of Dex's
Cassio!
And they tumbled to the floor of the monitoring console, where the rest of the flash pack were wringing their hands.
Oh goodness, I'm so glad you're all right. What happened? Where's the ship?
Dex has it. And we have a lot of information. Well, sort of. It was a confusing trip overall, but for now we're without a ship with a hyperdrive, and we still don't know where Dralis and Dex are. We're gonna be stuck for a little while. So we've got to gather as much information as we can on our own.
Is the Earth doomed to be destroyed by Dex's fleet of destruction? Has Dralis gone mad? Will the Flash Pack be able to save the day this time? Tune in for next week's thrilling episode of Epic Echoes, Gains and Losses.